Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network.
You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Lim, and I'm here with Ed Stutzer.
And great to be here.
Awesome. Awesome. All right. So today we have a question about multiplication and about small groups and kind of the relationship between the two from Joshua Stanley. So let's listen in.
Hey guys, my name is Josh, and I am actually less than 6 months into a new position as the groups director at just the campus level of an already multi-site church organization. And I guess my question would be, what would just my top three action items be to continue to develop our culture of multiplication in a way that would A, multiply our groups at the campus, but B, to continue to push that out beyond our walls in a way that could potentially result in having to launch another campus in our immediate area or maybe one of the surrounding areas. So can't wait to hear your input. Thanks.
All right. Well, I love this question, and I love it because he's thinking multiplication, right? And he's thinking at his level, right? So let's think about the context that he presented. He's in a multi-site church. He's in a campus of a multi-site church, and traditionally, within the multi-site context, if that's how you refer to yourself, you're not at the biggest one, or you're not at the mothership, and you're not at that one because you're referring to yourself as a campus of a multi-site church. So he's not the campus pastor there, but he's the groups director there. So essentially, he has a solid line probably to his campus pastor, if not to the global groups director, central services, or it's flipped back and forth. So he's not an executive team member. He is moving down, you know, probably 2-3 layers lower than the senior leadership level of the church. And he's thinking multiplication. So first and foremost, Josh, this is awesome, right? It's awesome that you are thinking multiplication and how you can stir that forward. Because my conviction within multi-site churches is that it's not just the largest campus with the most resources that need to be in charge of multiplication. No, every campus needs to create that momentum and movement so that every campus is reproducing rather than just relying on the one that has the permanent location with the biggest budget and all that. No, everyone needs to be a part of developing that culture of multiplication. So what I would say is, yes, continue to multiply your small groups, continue to do that, but don't expect that from a small group, you're going to be able to launch a campus. Because launching a campus from a small group, I mean, even if you think of leadership capacity, being able to lead a group of 8 to 12 people is very different than being on the launch team of a church that's launching with 100 or 200 people. There's a different sense of leadership skills that you need to lead 50 people or 100 people than you can with 8 to 12 people. That 8 to 12 person leader of a small group, definitely the shepherding pastoral skills are going to be heavy and going to be the strongest in that, but you're going to need different types of skills to recruit that launch team and to move forward. So if you have small groups, well, I mean, you do have small groups as a part of how you do community life at your church. What I would do is create opportunities for small groups in a certain geographical area. So they're all together in that one area. Make sure to gather and create opportunities so that 20 to 50 of them are gathering together. Kind of like the mid-sized community concept that I unpack in my book, No Silver Bullets, right? Wrestle through that idea of 20 to 50 people, bring those multiple groups together, and then see how leadership arises. See if even there are a few people here and there who take charge of the multiple, organizing that and bringing those multiple groups together. And that really becomes, that is who can become your launch team for that next campus. What do you think, Ed?
Yeah, no, I could see that for sure. I think that's a good description of a good path to mm-hmm. do there. I don't know that I'd add much to that. And I love it when you kind of lay out the path and the answer, and I just get to agree and affirm. I agree and affirm.
Okay, but going to his question, he's thinking, okay, I want to develop this culture of multiplication. what should he do? Okay, so that's obviously a way he can do that. And we went straight into nuts and bolts because he was talking about multiplying groups at his campus and doing all that, right? So, but at more of a macro scale, how can he lead up? How can he lead across maybe to the other campus pastors and up to the senior pastor? What kind of action items would you give him to develop that culture of multiplication?
Yeah, and I think the key is going to be, as you said, leading up, and it's a question of how best to do that. The groups, he's a little lower in the organization than some might be, but it's not unheard of. I mean, that's not a terrible place from where to do it. I guess I would say first, I would ask the key leaders to be sure they're in small groups. Second, I would feed information to them that they would be able to speak about small groups on a regular basis from the main, pulpit or wherever else that may be. So three, I would ask that to be kind of sewn into the value. And most pastors really do see that. And in other words, this is not you trying to convince somebody. Most pastors see the essential nature of small groups at this point in the way we do things. So I would make it easy to celebrate and talk about small groups at the pastoral level from the platform, from the pulpit. I would make it easy to do that. And I would ask for it to be a part of the culture of the church. And if you do that, I think you'll find easy to participate means easy to vision cast as well.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. And I'd even say, I mean, there's a powerful concept, learning communities, right? Learning communities is a powerful concept because in the traditional sense of a learning community or a cohort kind of like that, there is no boss, there is no reporting up, down, you know, there's nothing like that. So within a multi-site context, how can you actually, with dotted lines, no formal influence, gather together other groups directors, and not only in the adult side, but also in the children's side, and or other individuals throughout the church who are passionate about multiplication and want to see new campuses started or just want to see healthy groups. How do you create that informal community and talk about multiplication there and talk about best practices there? That can actually be a way to informally influence that. Now, if you're in a church plant or if you're in a context where you're more of an established church and you're thinking about multiplication too, and you may, it may just be you and five other volunteers, that is your team, then what I'd encourage you to do is create that sort of learning community with other pastors in your community, right? Not necessarily within your church, but within your community so that you can begin walking down the road of collaboration, right? So for me, I mean, I'm here now in Edmonton for the last few months, and as we continue to move down the road toward more sites and more plants out of our church, Beulah Alliance Church, I'm also simultaneously, yes, meeting with people within our church staff, but I'm also simultaneously meeting with the other pastors in our city. And I'm beginning to talk about and pray with them and think about, hey, what are ways that we can collaborate so that this city comes to know Jesus. The vision of our church is to reach 1% of Edmonton, right? That's 13,000 people, right? So what does it look like for us to reach 1% of Edmonton, not just within the Beulah context, but also in partnership with other churches and make that, you know, move that from 1% to 2% to 3%, 4%, and to really see the lost in the city come to know Jesus.
I love it. I love the passion that's ultimately there. So I would say, I mean, ultimately, tying the small groups into that broader passion that you're talking about, engaging the whole city and what that looks like, I think can make a really positive difference. Saddleback is launching my small group study it's called Christians at Their Best, which is kind of a companion to Christians in the Age of Outrage. And so Rick and I'll be doing a series in October. I'll be back and forth a couple times and launching. And what's fascinating is working with them in their small groups. Because I think Rick sort of said we want to do this, but then their system is really pretty remarkable. They have a proprietary software. They do this, but they basically feed the information out to 6,000 of their small groups. But what I loved about it is they made it easy for people to, that's it. They keep saying to me, because they're either using my video curriculum, they're using, you know, we got little books that people do. And they say, we're making it easy for me. Our job is to make it easy for the leaders, the pastors, and the people to participate in small groups. So I would say that's his job, to make it easy for the leaders, the people, and the pastors to participate in small groups. Now, of course, Saddleback's way bigger, but if he can do that, then and help shape that culture, and see the vision, some of which you shared, I think the future could be strong for those small groups.
Yeah. So let's finish this podcast with three action items, right? So what would you say, just to sum up our conversation, could be three action items to develop that culture of multiplication in his church?
Okay. So first, I would say, well, culture is the first thing. I would say create some talking points for pastors, leaders, and others. Create some language that kind of seeps into the culture that you start hearing it from other people. So I'd say first, shape culture. Second, I would say provide easy pathways. Make it easy for people to multiply, to be in groups, to be on mission. Make it clear administratively, clear organizationally how this works. That's my first and second. What's your third? We'll give you the third.
Yeah, I would say go to newchurches.com and download 1,000 Churches and Multiplication Today Movements Tomorrow, two free ebooks that we wrote, Ed, you and I wrote to help develop the culture of multiplication. And yeah, I mean, that's why we wrote those books. So it's free. Just go to newchurches.com and download Multiplication Today Movements Tomorrow and 1,000 Churches. You can just hit the search button up on the top right and be able to just, you know, type that in and you'll find that right away. Awesome. Well, thanks again for listening in. And hey, be sure to check out the 5 Leadership Questions podcast as well. Louis Giglio, David Platt, Ryan Myers, tons of great interviews that have been on that podcast. And the 5 Leadership Questions podcast with Todd Adkins is a part of the Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network family. So just look up 5LQ or 5 Leadership Questions podcast on your favorite podcasting app and subscribe today. We'll catch you next time. Every church must be equipped to respond well in the initial stages of learning about instances of sexual, physical, or emotional abuse. That's why the Southern Baptist Convention, Lifeway, and the ERLC partner together to create Becoming a Church That Cares Well for the Abused. This training curriculum of a handbook and 13 videos brings together top experts from various fields to help volunteers and leaders understand and implement the best practices for handling the variety of abuse scenarios at a church, school, or ministry. You can access this free training at churchcares.com. Once again, that's churchcares.com.